Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 96 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, Nestor, and my brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on the show, we have some breaking news at the beginning of the show that we'll get into here shortly.
Yes, sir.
We've got our news. We've got Jack's Unmatched Fury Series 2, your secret question, and then I think you're going to round it out with Everybody Has a Price.
Yes, sir.
What'd you think about that?
That sounds like a really, really solid show. A good 45 minute.
Think it's going to be a good hot and heavy show. 45 minutes. Wait,
yeah,
what?
I think a good 45 minute, maybe an hour long show. We'll see. We don't know if we're going to go Broadway or not with this one, folks.
I wouldn't hold our breath.
Yeah. We'll see. We tend to talk a lot, though, so we'll see what happens.
Next thing you know, we'll be at like an hour 20. We'll be like, oh, crap, it's past 45 minutes.
It's been known to happen. We're like, yeah, maybe we have like 35 minutes worth of material. Like an hour and a half later, we're still talking.
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, any of them at all, at FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, like today, I did remember the iPod.
I'm super impressed. I didn't even have to remind you. You remembered it all on your own.
I got home from work literally about 20 minutes ago. And as I sat down my iPod, I was like, nope, I got to put this next to the microphone.
Look at you wearing your big boy pants today. Good job, dude.
Big boy diapers, dude. Okay. This came in from Mayhem 5000. Oh, wait. This is Brian Breaker.
His name is Mayhem 5000?
I guess so.
That's awesome. Was that a yeah. WCW game back in the day?
Yes. It was Mayhem, but yeah.
It was just Mayhem. You're right.
Brian Breaker. Good brother Brian Breaker says these guys have a great podcast. It's easy to listen to. Only bad part is when it's over. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you, good brother.
Oh, Breaker's awesome, dude.
Yeah, we love Breaker and Bane over here, man.
Big fans.
You can email us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, before we get into the breaking news, we were on the Pro Wrestling Roundtable podcast just recently, and what a fun show that was because you and I didn't shut up.
No, not really. I think the goal of that was to talk about Hasbros, but the way you and I kind of operate is it'll stay on task for, you know, the first 10 minutes or so. And then it quickly veers off into this Mr. Toad's wild ride around all things wrestling figures. And it was a lot of fun because he kind of kept pace with us. It was an easy conversation. Richard was great to talk to. He had good questions for us. I don't know what the final episode count is going to be as far as like a time limit, but it'll probably be around 40 minutes or so, I'm guessing. But it was a lot of fun. Really good, quick interview. And it was great talking to him.
That was funny too, because we told him before we started, we said, hey dude, we don't shut up.
And sure, he was warned.
He was warned before recording that we don't shut up. And all of a sudden, dude, we just went.
Yeah. We kind of jumped off topic a couple of times, which we've been known to do. But the main point of that show was to discuss Hasbros and in some cases compare them to LJNs. It was a fun conversation, an easy conversation. It was a lot like kind of recording this show. We really stuck to our topic of wrestling figures, and go check it out. It was a lot of fun to do.
You can find their podcast at theprowrestlingroundtable.com. They have a Patreon account. Also, they can be found at pwrchampionship.com. They are on Facebook. Just search the Pro Wrestling Roundtable, and they are on Twitter at podcastpwr. And thank you again, Richard. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Richard.
Scott, your breaking news. Bum, 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 da, 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 go ahead.
No, dude, that was Star Wars. That was nothing like a newscast break. at all. That was not newscast music. That was Star Wars, dude. You completely lifted that.
But when people hear the Star Wars theme, they get it. They get happy, right?
Well, most people, most normal people.
What we need is we need the music for breaking news, like Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, we'll lift from Anchorman next time when we have breaking news.
Okay. Or like the music that they would do to cut to Sean Mooney.
Ooh, that's good too.
I don't even remember what that music was, but I'll see.
Or that that primetime wrestling when it would cut to commercial and it was just like guitar.
Ooh.
Like maybe we'll do something like that when we have breaking news. It isn't often.
The music track will be lost somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe we can find it on YouTube or something. I'm sure we can.
So Scott.
Yes. Oh yeah, that's right.
Your breaking news. I applaud you on this because you have spearheaded this. So what is your breaking news?
Breaking news is a couple weeks back we had discussed how we had a third shirt design in mind and that we had a fourth in mind as well. And we were going to get the third one knocked out and then this fourth one was going to drop somewhere around WrestleMania. Well, due to design issues, we've had to bump the fourth idea into the third idea. So we're right there where we want to start putting the rubber to the road and get this project moving forward. So here's what the design idea is. And this is where the listeners come in because this is going to require audience participation, but in the best way. Our idea, and this is riffing off of the Hasbro conversation we just had about being on Richard's podcast. Our idea is that either on the front or the back of the shirt, this is still an idea in process, it's going to be the back of a Hasbro card. Now, if you remember, we have our Fully Posable Goes Retro shirt where Jeff and I are the rockers on the front. Our idea is to basically turn that over so you're now looking at the back of that Hasbro card, and we want to design a specific number of listeners between like 12 and 18. We want to design a specific number of listeners as Hasbros. The problem that we're having is this is not a cheap design. We've shopped around a couple people. It's not going to be cheap. So this is definitely a buy-in situation, but you're definitely going to be getting something back out of it. You'll still need to purchase the shirt. The buy-in is basically to get the design of a Hasbro made for you. You pick your look. If you say, I want to look like Shawn Michaels or I want to look like Randy Savage, you pick your Hasbro pose, you pick your look, and we're going to have somebody design you as a Hasbro figure to be included on the back of the Fully Posable Goes Retro Hasbro card. I hope you guys like this idea. It was one that kind of hit me while I was at work. And as soon as it hit me, I had to get a hold of Jeff through email. And I was like, dude, I have the best idea for a shirt. And I think it's an awesome way to incorporate the listeners into the show. I hope you guys are excited about it. I was picturing this as something. The reason I was saying WrestleMania is because when we have our meetup in New Orleans, if we could all wear that shirt, I think that would look amazing. But it's again, it's going to require you guys to pitch in and help. So the lowest cost that I've seen so far on a sketch of each individual listener as a Hasbro is $25, which is pretty good because Jeff and I actually paid more than that when we had our Fully Posable Goes Retro done. That's the cost that we have to pass on to you guys. If you're interested, let us know. Either DM us, email us, just hit us on Twitter. Let us know that you're interested. But we need, I would say, no less than 10 to make the card look full enough to make sense. If you want to be tag teams with somebody, that's fine. I'm thinking like Mike the Cleaner and Hova as a tag team. You guys can pick a name. We'll put the name under you guys. If you turn a Hasbro card over, that's what we're picturing. And we want all of you guys included with us on the back. I think that's a great way to incorporate all of our listeners that we love into a shirt. Unfortunately, we don't have the funds to make a design like that happen. We're going to need your help. If $25 is cool with you guys, hit us up. Let us know that you're in. I'm going to have to cap the number at 18. So the quicker you get to us, the better. But I'm excited. We're still kind of designing what the entire Hasbro card is going to look like. And if it's going to be on the front or the back of the shirt, I'm not really sure yet. But the jumping off point is getting you guys designed as Hasbro. So please, if you're interested, $25, PayPal's fine, Venmo, whatever. But let us know that you're in because I'm trying to get most is 18, no fewer than 10. That's kind of our number. And that's breaking news.
You are the modern day Don West, I swear to God.
Good, that's exactly what I was going for.
So what else would we need from the listeners? Like, do we need a face shot or for the designer?
Well, first things first, let's get the head count. Then let's get the money. Then let's get the designs. I think that's the order it has to go in, because I don't want to give them one by one designs. I want to give them everything at once. So once you have your buy-in, once we say, okay, we have enough people, go. Then we'll start collecting money. Then I can forward that money to the designer, which, by the way, we don't have a designer locked in yet. We're still kind of shopping it around a little bit, but it's going to be quality. We're going with somebody that has, I'm not trying to tip my hand at all, but you've seen work on Twitter from these people, and those are the people that I'm targeting to do the Hasbro designs for us. I think you're going to be excited with the finished product, but let's get a head count first. Then once we have the green light go, we have at least 10 people in. Then we'll start collecting the money. I can send it to the designer. And at that point, we'll get costume ideas, poses, all that good stuff locked in for you guys. And we'll get this ball rolling. But the goal is to have the shirt designed and up on whatamaneuver.net by, I would say, beginning of March, so we can all get our orders in and get the shirts for WrestleMania. I would love to all have them at the meetup.
So what you're saying is you're shopping it around and getting quotes.
That's correct, but the cheapest that I've seen so far is $25 per person, and I think that that's a fair price, and that'll be a black and white sketch. Obviously, because the back of the Hasbro card is black and white, so it won't be color.
First off, I applaud you on doing this, dude. That was a brilliant idea, and you've really spearheaded this and tackled it. I think you've done a great job handling the situations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's one of those things, you try to think of a shirt idea when you're doing a meetup that's going to incorporate the liquid. Look, you and I aren't doing this at episode 96 without all of the listeners. So I was thinking, okay, how do we incorporate them all into this? And just kind of knocking ideas around in my head, I was like, dude, the back of the Hasbro card was amazing. And we just had the Hasbro show that has gotten so much positive feedback. Let's just run with it. Back of an LJN card wouldn't work because that was live shots of people. Well, towards the end anyway, it was live shots of people. Right. It just seems that Hasbro overall, with our listener base, seems to be Hasbro.
I agree.
Hasbro, the most love goes towards the Hasbro line. So let's try to incorporate that along with the listeners. What can we do? And dude, I know how much fun it was for us to get designed as Hasbros. I can imagine how much fun it would be for the listeners to get designed as Hasbros as well.
Guys, go ahead and DM us. Or you can hit Scott up at @FeedMeTacoBell. @FeedMe_TacoBell?
Yeah, @FeedMe_TacoBell. Or, you know, on our fully posable Twitter, you can just shoot us a straight note on that. Or you could DM us, you could email us, whatever. But again, minimum is at least 10. Because less than that, I don't think the back of the card is going to look right. And again, if you also want a tag team partner on there, you want to buddy up with someone, awesome, because we have to have the, well, we don't have to, but at the very top of the figure assortment, it was always the tag teams. So if you want to be tagged up with somebody, obviously Jeff and I are the Rockers, but we call Rockers, but you know, if somebody wants to be the Nasty Boys or the Legion of Doom, you know, you pick. I think Breaker and Bane would look amazing as the Nasty Boys. I'm just throwing that out there.
Hint, hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Even the Bushwhackers, they were all cool.
Breaker at Compound needs to do the pit stop.
Yes, exactly.
So, yes, guys, hit us up. As Scott said, first 18. And, you know, once we hit that 18 number, we got to stop it.
Yeah. And I can't go any less than 25. That is literally our cost. We're not making any money on that. That money goes straight to the designer. We don't see a dime of that. That is rock bottom cost, because you're still going to need to buy the shirt. But you're incorporated into a really cool design, which I'm really excited about. I can't wait to see the finished product. I've kind of got an idea in my head, and I'm excited to see what that finished product is going to look like.
We are a nonprofit podcast over here.
Pretty much. We love the gifts that we get from the listeners, but yeah, it pretty much is nonprofit. We're making zero off of that 25, trust me.
As we said, because everything else goes back into the show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It always does.
Well, good job, dude.
Thank you. I really hope that the listeners enjoy it. And if the idea sucks, let us know that too. I mean, because that, you know, next time we try to think of a design that's going to incorporate the listeners, we won't go card back. But if you guys love it, you know, maybe next time we'll do try like an LJN or a Bone Cruncher or a Just Toys Bendems, you know, Unmatched Fury, maybe, who knows? But this was a great way to kick it off.
Bone cruncher.
Yeah, you know, gimmick.
At least it's not Toy Biz.
Will you stop?
Scott, did you do any toy spotting this week?
No, you know what, dude? I was totally lame. I didn't do any, none over the weekend. I didn't do any toy spotting. Nothing
at all?
Nothing. Shannon went to Walmart for me just to look around and see what they had. Still, laughably, no Retro Series 2. They did put out a few more Elites, but they were older series, a la the Triple H from WrestleMania 31. That
what?
Elite series. Yeah, they just put those out. The Randy Orton throwback. Yeah, that's where our Walmart is. Haven't checked Target, but on last check, Shannon went. Again, the wife doing all my toy spotting for me. It's pretty awesome. Fig Life wife. She said no new NXT basics, no new NXT elites. She did check that out. So yeah, bone dry here in the Central Valley.
Same thing over here. Have I told you how much I hate Target?
Target sucks, dude.
Dude, the Targets out here are awful, dude. Luckily, special guest Sean found Rezar.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, he picked him up for me. He's like, dude, you're not finding Rezar anywhere. So do you want this? And I was like, no. Yes. Okay. Get me Rezar. So he got me Rezar from Authors of Pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool figure. It's got a lot of weight to it. I'll tell you that much. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's a big figure. And apparently the Occam looks just like him in some cases. Like, it's a huge error.
They're twins, dude. I mean, there's no difference in figure between them.
Yeah, that's not okay. From what I'm seeing, it's actually an error. Like, it's a production error. It's almost like a lot of Targets are getting two Rezars and not a Rezar and an Occam. Kind of strange. It's that the Occams are coming out basically with Rezar's head on them.
We didn't do any other toy spotting aside from some Targets this past week. And that was about it, dude. I was kind of lame this week.
Yeah, but you know what, though? That's actually a good strategy, because with Black Friday coming up next week, there's going to be a ton of deals on Amazon, with, I'm sure, with Elites and Basics and Rings and Ringside Collectibles, I'm sure, is going to be having a sale. So it's probably best to lay low these last few weeks and then just really tear it up on Black Friday.
Scott, we've got some news. What do you say we get into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, in the news this week, Toys R Us just received their Undertaker Legacy box set. In this is five basics. It covers Undertaker's career. It's Taker of 1990 with the gray gloves, Taker of 94 with the purple gloves, Taker of 98, Undertaker of 14 when he lost to Brock, and Undertaker of 2016. What'd you think of it, dude?
I think by not having, and somebody else put this on Twitter earlier, and I completely agreed with them. I forget who it was off the top of my head. They were passing on this set because they did not include the American Badass Undertaker, and I agree 100%. I think with that particular run, that lasted, gosh, 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
maybe two. By not including him, the Badass Undertaker, in this set, I think was a huge miss. And it's missing out on a big, big part of Undertaker's legacy. Aside from that, it's a cool set, especially if you're a huge Undertaker fan. They are basics. They're not elites. So I don't know if that weighs into your decision at all. But here's the kicker. Black Friday, Toys R Us is running this set for $30. So if you're on the fence, that's like 40% off. If you're on the fence, maybe that's the tipping point for you, is you're just going to buy it. $30 for, what is it, five Undertakers. For five Undertakers, $6 a pop, that's not bad.
I agree big time. The gap between 1998 Undertaker and 2014 Undertaker is a huge miss.
Yes.
It's a huge miss. That's such a huge gap, and I'm not a fan of that part.
Yeah.
I will say the box looks beautiful. It's a clear package, but on the bottom it has like the purple Undertaker logo.
Yes.
Love that part, but it's not enough to sway me to get it. Plus, I like Undertaker, but I'm not the biggest Undertaker fan.
Right. And again, that's kind of what I said, is that if you're a big Undertaker fan, this is easy. You're going to go buy this probably now for $50. But if you can hold out till Black Friday, you get it for $30. That's a sweet deal. I'm picturing how this is going to look autographed. The kicker is Undertaker doesn't do a lot of autograph signings. So good luck. But what this reminds me of is that Sting set that Toy Biz put out. It doesn't have the gatefold on the front to open it up, but the overall design of the package is just awesome. I agree with you, dude. It looks amazing.
Very much so. But as I said, it's not enough to sway me. Undertaker is actually doing some, was it Wizard Cons or...
Yeah, I want to say he was in Omaha or something like that at one of the Wizard Cons. They did get him for one.
Omaha.
Tomato, yeah, tomato.
He was there for one, and dude, could you imagine just standing next to Taker? You'd be like, oh my God.
No, he's one that I've never met, and I would absolutely love to, just because, you know, he doesn't do many signings anymore. I don't know if he does access or not. I'm not really sure, but he's a tough autograph to get. And now, officially, if I were to get an Undertaker autograph, I would be buying this set just to get it signed.
Scott, Retro Series 3 started popping up at GameStops just recently.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great deal for us fans that are having a hard time finding them at Walmart and don't want to spend the prices at ringside. $12.99, dude.
Everybody's been finding him there. $12.99. Somebody zoomed up close on Goldberg's face. He's missing teeth, dude.
Yes, it's like baby Goldberg or really old man Goldberg.
Yeah, it's like Goldberg forgot his dentures, dude.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I saw that on Twitter earlier, dude. Somebody took a picture of the Goldberg figure out of the package, zoomed in on his face, and they're like, where's Goldberg's teeth? Oops.
Whoops, my bad.
Yeah, it looks pretty funny.
But I'm still going to grab it. I have to have all those.
Yeah, and what I really like too is with GameStop getting these, I think everybody has a GameStop near them, and for only $3 more than what you're going to pay at Walmart, and Walmart isn't getting these the way that they got Series 1, dude, that's a huge help to the collector right there.
You're going to probably be able to find these at Target, at Toys R Us.
Yes.
Because you know every department store is going to be wanting these.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know what their price points are going to be with Walmart being $9.99, but for an extra $3 at GameStop, and they're easy to get, they're there right now, man. Jump in the car.
In that set was Goldberg, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and AJ Styles. Scott, our last bit of news this week was a huge news that came across last Friday as I was driving to All Pro Wrestling. Oh, that was the other thing. I can't believe I forgot about my All Pro Wrestling story.
Yeah, technically you did have some toy spotting there.
I did. I picked up Joey Ryan's FTC figure. I love that figure. And he signed it with a pink paint pen. I was hoping he would go over the figure on top of the bubble. But... that actually was another funny story. So I get up there and I say, Joey, we actually have an order for you. And he goes, oh, okay. So it's like the FTC figure and your pillow buddy.
Hit the mark button.
Mark.
Thank you.
So he goes, oh, okay. He goes, would you like me to sign the figure? And he grabs the FTC figure and he reaches over and grabs a Sharpie. I'm like, no.
Okay,
stop. I was like, no, dude, hold on. So I pulled the pink paint pen out from my back pocket, dude, and handed it over to him. He goes, oh, okay, cool. And so he signed it, but I was hoping he would sign over the figure, but he signed over underneath the face picture on the side of the package.
Yes.
It still looks really good. I'm happy with it. I'm stoked about it.
And that pink really pops on there too. That looks really good.
Figure's cool. I like it. Also got to talk to Colt Cabana. That was fun. We were talking about Marty DeRosa and Sarah and everyone. That was cool.
Yep.
So anyways, yeah, it was a good time at All Pro Wrestling. The big news, Scott, last Friday, Hasbro and Mattel are back in discussions for a merger possible buyout. So per the Wall Street Journal, it's reporting that via undisclosed sources that Hasbro has been in talks to take over merge with Mattel. This has been rumored before, but apparently is fired back up recently. No specifics, costs, or process have been revealed at this time. Shares from Mattel are up on the news. Hasbro is currently worth near $11 billion, while Mattel is worth $5 billion. The merger would put Barbie, Transformers, Nerf, and Hot Wheels under one roof, not to mention license for both DC and Marvel, creating a truly dominant market.
Oh, they didn't even mention WWE. What are they, Chop Liver?
I know, dude. They're like number two on Mattel's list.
So basically, Mattel is going to jump on Hasbro's shoulders and form a mega person.
Yes, exactly.
Kudos to you if you know what that movie is. But I'm really excited because this is one step closer to getting legit Hasbros.
And what a lot of people were asking us is, what would this do for elites? And I'm thinking, Hasbro's not dumb. They know where the money is for the WWE market. They know that the elites draw some good coins. So I don't think it would do anything to the elites.
Yeah, and I'm not a marketing professional or a business. I don't have a degree in business, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If this is Mattel's cash cow, leave it alone. Keep putting out what Mattel's putting out and you'll be fine. Just keep the ship headed in the direction it's going because it's doing really well right now. But I think the one piece, like I said earlier, we are a step closer to having Hasbro actually producing Hasbro figures again, since Mattel's the retro line. That, dude, that's like a dream come true. All these years later, 25 years later, we may get Hasbros again.
Oh, to have all those mechanisms back and...
Yes, maybe not as many jumpy poses.
Oh, dude, hitting all my senses with that one.
Yes, they could give us two ups and prototypes. Oh, I'm so excited.
So, yes, that was the big news. As I said, Hasbro isn't going to do anything with the Elites. They know where the money is. Like you said last week, dude, Elites, Basics, Battle Packs. That's your moneymaker right there. Stick with those.
Retros.
And retros. Keep going with those.
Yeah, grow the retros, though. Mattel is already heading in that direction. Keep that ship moving forward. That's where you want to. That's where you want it to be. 100%.
Maybe we'll get some Nerf wrestling figures, too.
Dude.
Transforming wrestling figures. How about that?
Actually, you'd fit right in. They're probably listening going, why didn't we think of that? Drop the zombies. Transformers.
You know, Mattel's like, no, don't drop the zombies. Don't do that.
Oh, I do have a funny note. Speaking of zombies and monsters, got out of bed this morning. I go to get in the shower and Shan's sitting there listening to the podcast. And she's on the part where you and I are discussing that monsters line that's going to be coming out.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, oh, they're doing monsters? I go, yeah, it's kind of along the same line as like the zombies and the mutants. They're making monsters. And she was like, oh, well, who's in it? And so I'm going through the list, the ones I can remember, like, oh, Roman Reigns is a werewolf. Asuka's like a Phantom of the Opera or something. And Jake is like this weird snake guy. And she's like, oh, they're pictures. And I was like, yeah, hold on. So I get my phone and I go to Ringside Collectibles and I show her the pictures. And she's like, oh, she's like, I don't really care for the Jake too much, but this one's cool. And this one looks good. And oh, okay, those are kind of cool. So long story short, I have a divorce attorney and... Shannon's going to be moving out soon. So that's where that stands. I guess that wasn't really a funny story now, was it?
Way to bring down the show.
Yeah, we take our figures very seriously, folks.
But we understand it's regarding the monster figures. I
knew if anybody was going to have my back, dude, it was going to be you. You're like, dude, I totally understand. Kick her to the curb now. Of course, I'm kidding, but it's a horrible line.
You know what? If you really want to get those for her, just wait till they go to like $3.99 or $4.99 at Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get the whole set for like $20.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
But maybe not the Jake, because that's the one that'll sell the most, I think. Maybe Asuka.
The Jake one I've actually considered about getting, and I'm like, oh, what am I thinking about? No, I don't want that.
Yeah, no, no, stop it.
Scott, we've got Jack's Unmatched Fury Series 2. What you think?
Yep, let's do it. Let's talk about them.
Scott, Jack's Unmatched Fury Series 2, what you got?
Yep, Jack's Unmatched Fury Series 2 consisted of The Undertaker, and this would have been like your 07-08 Undertaker. He had the long black trench coat, the black hat. It was like he had just walked into the ring and was staring down his opponent. We had Shawn Michaels, and he was in his kind of the kneeling pose where he's flexing. You had Triple H, and he was doing the crotch chop, and you could put him and Shawn Michaels together to put Triple H in the back and Shawn Michaels in the front like they were doing their pose in the ring. And they were in DX gear, by the way. And you had Rob Van Dam, and he was doing like a flying body press move, so you kind of caught him like mid-move, and he was in one of his signature singlets. And that is Jack's Unmatched Fury Series 2.
I said this last week. I can't tell you how much I love these. What a great idea to put Triple H and Shawn Michaels together like that.
Yes, genius idea.
The Undertaker was flawless in this. I thought that was a spot-on taker. The RVD was cool. I wasn't too sure about the pose that they put him in.
It was okay.
I like the singlet on it. They did a great job. I thought Jax and even Mattel, I think everyone nails his singlets perfectly.
Yes.
And OSFTM, if you want to go that far back. But these figures were great, man. And the only one I would say, if I had to choose a bad one, I guess it would be the Triple H. I just didn't like the face on it. It was kind of like it was kind of scrunched together almost like.
Yeah, but the overall presentation, if you presented them as Jax intended to have Triple H in the back doing the crotch top, Shawn Michaels in front do as a signature pose, I think with those two together, you don't even notice the face on Triple H. It's good enough to get it by based on the presentation of those two figures posed together.
And as we said, these are statues and these were just awesome. Loved everything about these Unmatched Furies. And the more we go into it and the more I look at these series and I'm kind of looking ahead, I'm like, man, they nailed all of these.
Yeah, these were amazing figures. And again, they weren't really figures. They were more statues and more geared toward the collector's market. But man, like you said, Jeff, that Undertaker is flawless. It is perfect. In terms of the best Undertaker figures ever, this one is up there. With hands down, without a doubt, this one is up there. You can't classify it as an action figure, though, so you can't really lump it in. But out of all the Taker figures, statues, everything that's ever been produced, this one is definitely top three.
Absolutely. As I said, RVD look cool. Triple H and Shawn, as you said, the total presentation. These things were awesome.
It also shows you where RVD was on the card at this time in WWE. To come out in Series 2 already, considering the names that had been released, RVD was up there on the card. They thought pretty highly of him. But yeah, again, Series 2, just they kept knocking it out of the park with the series, and they just kept getting better. And yeah, that Taker, though, hands down, my favorite one of Series 2 for sure.
Yep. And as you said, one of the best Undertakers ever made.
Yeah, hands down, easy.
Scott, you've got I think you're actually going to enjoy this secret question. I think a lot of listeners are going to enjoy this secret question this week.
Uh-oh.
What?
I'm nervous. Did somebody go heel on me? Am I being swerved?
No, not at all. I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this. So,
good. I can't wait.
Let's cue the music and let's get into your secret question. Scott, this week for your secret question, we're going to go a little bit rogue. We're going to go off topic, away from wrestling figures.
Oh, interesting.
So this is going to be a little nostalgia filled. So Scott, we all know that you collected He-Man, G.I. Joe, Mask, Transformers, everything under the sun when we were both kids, actually.
Yep.
So describe how you would play with Mask or Transformers or He-Man. Now, did you have play sets? Did you say, like, for He-Man, how would you have him and Skeletor battle? Because we've always talked about how we would be sitting there Indian style with our wrestling rings and matches, setting up matches. But how would you play with Transformers or Mask or whatever toy you decided to play with that day?
We had the question come in last week from James regarding the look of WWE guys and storylines on TV at the time, and if those mirrored our play. And I could say 100% when it came to all my other toy lines aside from WWF, that was exactly it. I watched the G.I. Joe cartoons. I watched the He-Man cartoons. I watched Mask. If it had a toy line attached to it, Thundercats, if it had a toy line attached, I was collecting the figures, more than likely. And in most cases, I had play sets too. So Mask, we had the Boulder Hill play set along with most of the vehicles, and they all came with figures. He-Man, I had Castle Grayskull, Battle Cat. I forget Skeletor's Beast Cat or whatever. I forget Skeletor's one's name. Had that. G.I. Joe. I had more G.I. Joes than most of the friends that I knew, dude. Just a ton of vehicles. And again, it goes back to the benefactors. We never went without. They always made sure we had, you know, if we were into a toy line, they bought us everything. You know, whether it be for Christmas or birthday, we got stocked up. And we were really, really fortunate when we were kids. But when it came to G.I. Joe, dude, I had a ton of the vehicles. And I think I actually collected G.I. Joe up until probably like 87, 88, I think is when I stopped collecting them. And then they just kind of sat in drawers. I wasn't playing with them anymore. They just kind of sat in drawers. But it did mirror a lot of what I was seeing on like the G.I. Joe cartoons or the He-Man cartoons. He-Man especially, with that Castle Grayskull playset. Dude, that thing was so much fun. It was probably, 2 feet tall, 3 feet tall, something like that. You could open it up so that you could play on two floors on the inside. It had a working drawbridge on it. That thing was just amazing, dude. At like 8 or 9 or 10 years old, however old I was playing with that thing, that was just awesome. But it really just mirrored what I was seeing in the cartoons. Loved the He-Man line, loved the Mask line. I don't think that Mask actually gets enough love. I think that was a highly underrated line. Transformers, I loved the Transformers, but I didn't really play with them as much as I did my other stuff, just because they were really complex, and it felt like you spent more time transforming the things than you did with instead of like actually playing with them and having like battles and stuff. You spent more time trying to transform the things, and that kind of took away from it for a little bit for me. But yeah, I loved playing with Mask, and that Boulder Hill playset was cool because it had that boulder on top that you could hit the button and the boulder fell down. You had crushed vehicles with it. It was just awesome. G.I. Joe, my one regret with the G.I. Joe line is the USS flag. I never got the aircraft carrier.
Oh, you didn't?
I never got the aircraft carrier. Number one, first and foremost, where in the hell would mom and dad have put that in the house? That Good thing question. Was 7 feet tall, and you can't teach that. That thing was 7 foot long, dude, and I don't know where mom and dad would have even put that, and I think that was the main reason we never got it. But dude, do you remember the aircraft carrier?
I sure do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Our good friend Big Dave got it, and yep, every time I went over there, all I wanted to do was play with his aircraft carrier. That's all I wanted to do. I was every time like, dude, let's get that thing out, let's play with it. No. And it was in their front room forever, and their house was smaller than ours out there in Walnut Creek. They had a single story. And I remember that it stayed in his front room for maybe, I would say like 3 months, maybe. And then I think they took it apart and put it up in storage. Either that or they stuck it in David's room, but it took up, dude, it was 7 feet long. I mean, where do you put that?
Right, right.
Like, unless you have a playroom dedicated to toys, there's just really not a good place to put that. So if I recall correctly, and Dave is going to have to correct us, I think after like 2 or 3 months, I think his dad got sick of it being in his TV room, and he was like, get that thing the hell out of here. So I think they had to disassemble it and put it somewhere else. Like maybe they took it over to his grandpa's house or something. But I just remember every time I went over there, I was like, dude, we got to play with the aircraft carrier. That thing was amazing. It had a working, I'm drawing a blank, where you could like talk on it, like a working, not a CB, but like a walkie-talkie thing.
Uh-huh.
Where you could like project, it was almost like a microphone, like you could project your voice, like you pretended you were like the admiral of the ship. You could land all of your planes on it. There was plenty of room for those. It had a quarters where you could play with your figures, and that thing was amazing. And it's the one piece that I regret never getting. And it was expensive. It was huge. I totally get why mom and dad didn't get us that one. But yeah, that's my one collecting regret, dude, is I wish I had had that. That would have been amazing.
And by the way, happy birthday, Big Dave.
Yes, happy birthday, Big Dave.
Yeah, today's his birthday.
Yep, he's 1 year older than me officially.
Yep.
He's the older man.
I remember I used to play with Mask and Transformers when I wasn't playing with wrestling figures. And I would get new masks or Transformers, and I'd pop them out of the box, and I would always sit there and go, oh crap, I suck at putting on the stickers. And then I would always go bug you to put on the stickers. And you would get so annoyed with me. You would be like, dude, I'm not putting on your stickers. You got to learn how to do this. And I was like, no, I always suck at it. And like, I would try to put on the sticker, and I'm like, steady, steady. And then it would go somewhere else, dude.
Suddenly it's on the underside of whatever you're trying to get.
Yeah. Even though the instruction booklet is laying right there, dude, I can't, I always botch it, dude. But Transformers and Mask were the two toys I always played with. I also played with Knight Rider and Dukes of Hazzard too.
Yes, you did.
Yep, loved those two.
We had a few racetracks as well, the electric slot cars.
You know what? While you were talking, dude, that was one of the things I thought about, was we also had racetracks.
Yeah, you had a Dukes of Hazzard one.
Yep.
We had one of those cliffhangers where you could swing it up the wall.
Yep, exactly.
We had one of those, and then we also had a flat track. And I miss those. Honestly, one of these days, I would love to be able to set up just a humongous table and set one of those old ones up, be it a cliffhangers or just even a basic, like a flat track. And I know there's one out now that's like, you work it with your phone. I think it's made by Anki or something like that. And you control the cars and the guns and stuff with your phone, and it's all done like remotely. And that's not really my thing, dude. I prefer the old slot cars. Those were just awesome.
Oh, yeah, dude. There's actually a place out here. It's a miniature subpar mini golf out here in Alameda.
Uh-huh.
But they have a huge slot car track.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've never been down there. I want to, but, you know, life.
Life. Those were just fun, dude, because you could replace the parts on them, like the little bumpers underneath. You could replace those, the parts that touch the track.
Yep.
You replace the tires on them. You could get new bodies for the chassis so you could have a whole different car. Those were just a lot of fun to play with back in the day, but that definitely took a back seat. All of that did once we started collecting LJNs. I think very quickly, all of our other toy lines started to get smaller and smaller, and our wrestling figure collection got bigger and bigger, especially as like we found Remco's and more LJNs came out, and then the Hasbro's started coming out. I think by the time Hasbro's came out, I was done with everything but WWF. I wasn't collecting anything else.
That's actually true, dude, because once wrestling figures started hitting our lives, dude, oh man, everything took a back seat.
Yeah. Oh, we did collect Turtles too.
We did do that.
Yeah, we got the first few lines of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And then as you got older, you were really into Spawn too. You were on the hunt at Toys R Us's for Spawn.
Yeah, it took a few years after Hasbro. I think Spawn came out in like 94, maybe 95. And I got heavy into the Spawn figures. In fact, John at Castro Village, who was helping us get the Hasbros, he would get in full cases of Spawn and he'd call me on those as well. And of course, you know, we forgot the one that we collected forever and ever and ever. And we were always out hunting with our good friend Nathan, Starting Lineups.
Starting Lineups, yes.
That was a collection. And actually, Mom was involved with that one with us too. And we'd go to Toys R Us with her and we'd buy a whole bunch of Starting Lineups. And that was really a thrill of the hunt thing, because some of them were pretty rare. I don't know how many people out there used to collect Starting Lineups, but you know, that was in the days before eBay. So yep. If you wanted, like for you, for example, Jeff, if you wanted a Bills player, there was no eBay back then. You had to just hope that you randomly came across a Bills player out in the store. And that didn't always happen because the initial batches of those were all regional releases. So the chances of finding a Bills or a Jets or a Giants was a different story because that was a bigger team. But like the Jets and the Bills and all the smaller market teams, there wasn't much of a chance of those hitting the West Coast.
Right, right. And there was one Christmas I remember Mom stuffed our... We get a... Even though Scott's 43 and I'm 38, we still get this Santa bag that Mom brings over every Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Mom stuffed those Santa bags that we still have till this day with Starting Lineup 1 year. And man, we pulled out Wade Boggs. We pulled out Richard Dent. We pulled out Jim McMahon. Dude, we found, Mom hooked us up with a bunch of different players, dude. And I was like, oh my God. But she's always saved the big ones for last. And she saved Will Clark for me. And I think McGuire Canseco for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome. And keep in mind, that was like 88, 89. So that was like the initial run of Starting Lineups. I think it was 88. And so we just had a ton of players, dude, and we shredded all of those open.
Yep.
And we displayed all of them. That was just, it was fun. You know, but really, once wrestling figures came in, everything else kind of died off. I would say the one that lasted through wrestling were the Starting Lineups. I would say like the late 80s, early 90s, if it wasn't for Starting Lineup, would have been 100% WWF.
Or Galoobs or Hasbro.
But still wrestling. It was always wrestling, dude. That's the one that we've never gotten out of.
It's a funny story, dude. I remember I lost the helmet to one of the big mask guys. He drove that Camaro-looking car.
Yeah. Tracker, I think his name was.
Yeah. Well, the guy that was inside the car, I lost his helmet.
Yeah, Matt Tracker or something like that. Matt Stryker, I forget.
Not Stryker.
Not Stryker.
But I was so mad and I was so down that I lost that helmet. And I remember before school one day, we were playing two-hand touch football. And I made a big play and got somebody before scoring a touchdown and before everybody had to go into class. And I remember somebody went up to you and they were like, hey, that was cool. Your brother got that guy, you know? And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, that was cool, blah, blah, blah. And somehow you two got to talking. And somehow you two came upon that I had lost his helmet. And the guy goes, you know what? I'm going to give your brother that helmet. I don't know if you remember this.
I do remember this, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. And I remember you gave me the helmet, and dude, it was like my whole life was picked back up, dude.
Well, because who was the driver of the Camaro without the helmet?
Yeah,
he was just a guy.
Yeah, he was just a guy driving a Camaro.
Yeah, exactly.
He was no different than the Fall Guy, you know?
Yeah, he was just your average broski, that's all.
Yeah. So I got that helmet back, and dude, it was like the greatest thing ever. I never found the original helmet, but I had the helmet again, and I was so stoked, dude.
Life was complete again.
It was. So I thought I would make that secret question nostalgia-based.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that was a good little trip down memory lane, dude. But yeah, shared collections, as far as you and I had, I think it was Mask. You never got into G.I. Joe. It would have been Transformers. So Mask, Transformers.
Yep.
And wrestling. And I think that's it. You never got into He-Man. You never got into G.I. Joe. You were only kind of into Thundercats, and you were only kind of into the Ninja Turtles a little bit. Oh, and Starting Lineups was the other shared one.
Well, you also had Star Wars, too.
Yes, but Star Wars died off shortly after Return of the Jedi, so Star Wars was dead pretty much by like 84, 85. So that one died off right when LJNs came out, so it was perfect timing. I didn't have to worry about like a bunch of Luke Skywalkers. I could just worry about a bunch of Hulk Hogans.
Oh, that was fun nostalgia-based right there.
I love it.
Scott, we're going to round out the show with Everybody Has a Price, your favorite segment.
Yep, turn the tables on you.
You get to get me back. But we do have one question before we get into it. But let's get into that segment first. Scott, before we get into Everybody Has a Price, we did receive a question on Twitter, and I apologize. I forgot to write down this gentleman's name. But the question came in. He said, in Hasbro, what made the red card Series 8 better than Series 10? They had just about the same amount of repaints. What made Series 8 greater than Series 10?
In my opinion, the red card series was better because of name value. I think that the names that you got in the red card series were better than the names that you got in the... That was the blue card series, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so that was Giant Gonzalez, Marty Jannetty, the Head Shrinkers...
And Bushwhackers.
Bushwhackers, which were repaints. Shawn Michaels, a repaint. Razor Ramon, a repaint. Not that they were bad by any stretch, but I think as far as like new names to the line and star power, I think that Series 7 had them beat.
Series 8.
Series 8 was the red card?
Yeah.
Oh, I apologize. You had Bam Bam Bigelow. Mr. Perfect was a repaint. Brett was a repaint. But that Brett repaint was amazing.
Yep.
Not that the Shawn and Razor weren't, but the few touches that they added to that Brett were a huge difference maker compared to his original figure. You had Lex Luger, the Narcissist, one of the finest figures that Hasbro put out, in my opinion. That head sculpt on him is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You had Undertaker, and he had a cloak on. That was amazing. I just think overall, the name value on the red card series was better than the blue card series.
I agree. The red card series, out of all lines... whether it was LJN, Mattel, Hasbro, Galoob, Jax, whatever it was, that Series 8 red card series is my favorite series of all time to ever come out. Every figure in that series was flawless. As Scott said, the Luger was perfect. It was Yokozuna's first figure.
Yeah, Yoko was the other big name in that one. You're right.
The only thing I didn't like was the blue tattoos, and I talked about this in the Hasbro show.
Yes.
I didn't like the blue tattoos on Bam Bam's head. But was the Bam Bam figure good? Yes, it was the blue tattoos that deterred me away a little bit. But overall, every other figure was flawless. The Brett is the best Brett ever made.
Yes.
Hands down, against any figure, whether it's Mattel, Jax, LJN, whoever, it's the best Brett ever made. Mr. Perfect, I love the singlet that they put him in, the updated singlet. That red card series just screamed perfect.
And it had a lot of name value too, compared to the blue card series. Just the name value alone, I think, is how that one wins out. The Head Shrinkers were big at the time. Marty Jannetty was in and out. Giant Gonzalez, I think, was out of the Federation by the time his figure came out. While that Giant Gonzalez figure is great, overall name value, just it wasn't there in that series, and that's why I tip it to the red card series.
Scott, I hope that answered the gentleman's question, but... that red card series, man, that thing was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, by the way, did we let Chris back in the building yet?
Oh, yeah. Chris was let in at the end of last week's show.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Okay. We didn't leave him out in the rain or anything, dude.
Well, I didn't want him to miss the Hasbro conversation.
He probably fast-forwarded 15 seconds.
Very true.
He's like, oh, crap, more Hasbros.
He's hitting the mark button on us.
Scott, this week we are doing Everybody Has a Price, so this week you will be coming at me with four figures that I need to rate lowest to highest or highest to lowest, either or.
Yep.
So, Scott, you chose four figures today. You did old auctions on eBay.
Yep.
What you got for me?
Figure number one, and it goes along with our nostalgia segment, Jeff, Unmatched Fury Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
Figure number two. LJN Randy Savage.
Okay.
Figure number three, Mattel Toys R Us exclusive mail away Vince McMahon. and this would have been Vince in his gray suit on a slim card.
Ooh, he threw a curveball at me.
I knew you'd like that one. See, you got two fastballs and a curveball, changing your eye level a little bit. And finally, figure number four, LJN Roddy Piper 16-inch in the box, complete with kilt and shirt. Now, keep in mind, Jeff, these are either mint in box or mint on card, and they can be part of a buy it now or auction style on eBay, but all guaranteed as sold.
Okay.
Would you like to go high to low or low to high?
I'm going
to
go low to high.
Seems to be your favorite.
I'm going to go with my first instinct, Mattel Vince McMahon.
You are correct.
Yes. How much?
You tell me.
Okay, so I'm going to go $76.
You're close, but it's higher.
$89?
You're close, but higher.
$94.
Sold on October 15th, $99.
Really?
Yes.
Ugh. For Vince?
For Vince, $99, sold on October 15th.
Second, Unmatched Fury Ultimate Warrior.
Wrong.
What?
Wrong.
LJN Roddy Piper?
That is correct.
No way.
Yes, sir. Would you like to guess how much the Piper?
112?
You're actually really close. Higher, though.
117?
Sold on August 30th, mint in the box, $127.50.
Wow. Well, then I will go Ultimate Warrior Unmatched Fury.
And that would be correct. Would you like... Now, this is the one that had the most fluctuation in high and low pricing. It seems to be the most recent auctions were the higher, and it seems just as of 2 months ago, he was going for less. So I took the higher. Would you like to guess how much an Unmatched Fury Ultimate Warrior sold for?
Okay, so I'll be honest. When I was looking at the Unmatched Furies on eBay, the few Ultimate Warriors that I saw on card was $112. Now, granted, I do not know when those sold.
Mm-hmm.
So that might have been the 2 months earlier that you were talking about.
Yes, and the ones that I saw from a couple months ago, some of them did go for around that, but some of them they did best offer accepted, and they don't show you the price on those. So I kind of went with the most recent one and... Go ahead and guess a dollar amount on what that most recent one. I'll give you a hint. This was a buy it now, and it sold on October 3rd.
I'm going to say $141.
Higher.
$173?
Higher.
What? $210.
Sold on October 3rd. Buy it now. $200.
Wow.
Yeah. It seems most recently they're going for more money, so I don't know if people out there that have that Unmatched Fury Ultimate Warrior, if that is like... gonna make you run out there and slap yours up on eBay. Good luck, more power to you, because they seem to be going for more right now.
Wow, because I was looking at them the other day when we started talking about the Unmatched Furies. I was looking at them on eBay, and Warrior was anywhere from about 108 to 112.
Yeah, there was a lot of fluctuation on this one. But again, the ones that I saw that were a guaranteed sold, they didn't have the amount because they were best offer accepted.
So that leaves LJN Randy Savage, mint on card. LJN Randy, I'm going to have to say 326.
Too high.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, 246.
Whoa, dude, you were almost on it. Buy it now, September 17th, $242.50.
Oh, wow.
And there you go. So in order of lowest to highest, Mattel Toys R Us Mail Away Exclusive Vince McMahon, $99. LJN 16-inch Roddy Piper Complete Mint in Box, $127.50. Next, Unmatched Fury Ultimate Warrior, $200 on Buy It Now, but there's a lot of price fluctuation on there. And finally, LJN Randy Savage sold on September 17th. Buy It Now, $242.50.
Good job this week, dude. You really threw a couple curveballs at me.
Yeah, I figured we'd take it old names. And I was wondering where you were going to place that Mattel, because that one was pretty rare.
It's Vince McMahon Mattel. I was thinking it was like $76, but I didn't expect $99.
Yeah, that one sold for $99. But yeah, good job this week, dude.
Thanks, dude. I thought for sure I had it pegged perfectly with the... Because I was going to go Mattel, Vince, the Warrior, Unmatched Fury, because of what I had seen when yes. We started up the nostalgia segment, Roddy Piper and then Randy Savage.
Yeah, well, the Ultimate Warrior, again, there's a lot of fluctuation in price, and it seems to be going for more most recently. So if you have yours and you want to put it up, just check eBay, see where everything's at right now. But verified sold auction, somebody actually did a buy it now for $200.
Whew,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, some good coin.
I didn't even pay that much for the WCW Galoob Freebird box set.
Yeah, which is sweet.
Oh, I know. You were admiring that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was awesome. I wanted to cut holes in the package and push the buttons.
No.
Did I make you cringe a little bit when I said that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You sure did. Don't do that.
You made me feel kind of funny.
All right, Scott, quickly, do you want to express any feelings?
Wow, let's see. Feelings. Yeah, dude, I am super pumped for Survivor Series.
Boy, you make a couple switches to the card and look what happens. You get excited.
Yeah, exactly. And I know I was talking with some people about this regarding the card. Way more excited for Charlotte versus Alexa. No offense to Natalya. She was a great champion and she's always been a solid WWE performer. But I think name value and overall match value, I think there's more there for Charlotte versus Alexa that's going to be awesome. AJ versus Brock, I think, was absolutely best for business. I'm way more excited to see AJ versus Brock. That is a dream matchup. Despite my feelings about Brock, I think it's going to be a really, really good match. I do think that Jinder's going to interfere and cost AJ the match just so they can continue that feud. I'm super excited for that one. I'm super excited for the women's elimination match. I want to see if Paige is the secret reveal for the SmackDown team. The men's match is going to be amazing. They've hyped the crap out of it. And dude, a dream match with New Day versus Shield. That's going to be so good. Just overall from top to bottom. And plus, Kalisto versus Enzo, even that's going to be entertaining. They're talking about adding another match or two to the pre-show. I am super pumped. And let's not forget NXT WarGames, dude. How epic is that WarGames going to be?
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
Nine of the best performers. It's going to be great.
I can't wait to watch it on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a stacked NXT card. I'm super excited that Chris Hero made the card. That's going to be amazing. Just overall, this is going to be a fantastic weekend full of excellent wrestling. I can't wait. I'm super excited. Go ahead and hit that mark button, sir.
Mark.
Thank
by
you.
By the way, Chris, we're still waiting on that Chris Hero figure. We're super stoked for it.
Cannot wait.
Come on, Chris, get that over to us.
War Machine too, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, dude, that War Machine is sick.
Yeah. Oh, let's not forget that FTC did reveal the Shane Douglas.
Oh yeah, I like that figure, dude.
Yeah, they showed what the Shane Douglas looks like, and it's a good looking figure.
Yeah, so much better than his ECW figure.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really, really well-done figure. I can't wait to see the entire finished product because, you know, they usually do the secret reveals and it's from the waist up. But yeah, a great-looking Shane Douglas figure. Can't wait.
So, Scott, you know what else people can be on the lookout for?
Let's see. What else can people be on the lookout for? What are maneuver shirts?
Not only that, but episode 100 is creeping up closely to us.
That is definitely something to look forward to.
And we might have a little giveaway for our 100th.
One or two, possibly three giveaways for the listeners.
Yep. So listeners, follow our Twitter. As we get closer to episode 100, we will drop that.
Yep.
I think you guys will be excited about that.
Yeah, there'll be some solid giveaways for you guys.
And also people can head on over to whatamaneuver.net and pick up the Fully Posable Goes Retro and the Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirts. People can also, Scott, follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. They can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. Please rate and review on iTunes like good old buddy Brian Breaker over there in Oklahoma did for us. And you can email us any questions, comments, audio questions, or anything else at all to FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. Scott, for episode 96, anything else?
Yes, please, please, please let us know if you are interested in doing the Hasbro design shirt. The sooner you get a hold of us, the better. We want to have these things turned out by WrestleMania. As I'm seeing on Twitter, a lot of you are going to WrestleMania. That means a lot of us are going to have a meetup, and if we're all wearing the same shirt, I think that'd be awesome. Rep that Fully Posable brand out there. So if you're interested, please, please hit us up. Let us know. That way we can start getting a headcount together, start collecting money, get it off the designer, and just have a kick-ass t-shirt made. And aside from that, happy toy hunting.
#FigLife. Adios.